a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
69 against lefties. Sends this one into center on a line. It's going to hold up, and Friedel makes the play to end the inning. Jordan lined it out to center, but hit it too close to the center fielder, and the Astros have their five-game winning streak go away. The Reds win the first game of this three-game series, 5-3. Cincinnati has won 7 in a row over the years against the Astros. The Astros' last win against Cincy coming back in 2016. So the winning streak comes to an end.
That's a random fun fact, Todd Callis. 2016, the last time the Astros beat the Cincinnati Reds. Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George. It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024. Hope you all had a fun Labor Day weekend. If you are rejoining us, we were on the air yesterday.
Clap for the scabs.
Some would call it scabs. Others would just brag about what hard workers they are.
Dedicated to our craft.
100%. Also, I am back from vacation. And I did a show yesterday. Yeah. Woo. On Labor Day, coming back from a week-long vacation. Now, something happened yesterday in the Astros game that I think is about to get us something really juicy. I think just a piping hot, meaty take on the table. Because, guys, and I don't know what he's about to say, but I believe, like a Venezuelan in Aurora, Colorado.
Oh, no.
That Joe George has come into this studio packed and loaded. And Joe, I want you to pull out that pistol. I want you to put it in my head. I want you to do it.
All right.
I want you to do it.
So you know, in Hercules, at the very beginning of the movie, when they give baby Hercules the milk.
I've never seen Hercules, but yes, I do. I do. Continue your take.
How do you find a different movie reference here? And he loses all of his power.
Sure.
And becomes a mortal human being.
Great.
And he's not a god anymore.
Yeah.
That's Justin Verlander. He's okay. He's mortal. He's no longer a god. He's no longer Cy Young winner. He's just a guy. He's a Jag. He's just a guy. Right now.
Oh, okay, we're getting a little juicy.
Just the Jag.
Are you going to say it? Are you going to do the Justin Verlander, what you did to Scott Boras?
Is Justin Verlander
washed?
I can't do the W word yet. I can't do it.
Okay, fine.
Now, of like the 1 to 10, like a 4. I'm like, I'm the
1 the to bar, 10 on the washed
on
meter.
On the washed meter.
He's a 4 on the washed
meter. He's like a 4 on the washed meter. Mainly because just like there are other takes, which we'll revisit this week, because I found some stuff, Paul.
You found some stuff?
I found some stuff.
What kind of stuff?
I found some incriminating evidence.
Incriminating?
That when you give me a hard time about Framber Valdez and my take, uh-huh, I understand. There's another show that was late to their show that day because they were golfing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That when they got on the air, they heard what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And they agreed with me. Oh. And I found the audio evidence. So they like to keep bringing up my Framber take. We're going to reveal that later this week before Framber's next start.
Okay.
To, you know, show who's really in the know of what's going on at the station. But Justin Verlander, he's a 4 on my wash meter.
I really want to focus on the afternoon show, showing up late for a show because they were golfing, which was honestly the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened at the station. But it's fine. It's fine. Bringing it back to Justin Verlander. I guess you can't look for him to go back to what he was a couple of years ago. You can't. I mean, that was insane what he did, turning back the clock the way that he did 2 years ago. That's not happening again. I guess really what I have as a question is, come playoff time, because he's going to be in your playoff rotation, what is he going to give you? Yesterday, not enough. And it's not like he was getting smacked around. It was singles. The hit that got him chased from the game, maybe Altuve could have caught that. Maybe Jason Hayward could have caught that. I mean, it just dropped in between three guys on a bloop, and it scores two. I guess I'm asking, what are we hoping for? Realistically, out of Verlander when the big games are happening in October?
A different pitcher.
Come on.
Of him just being a different pitcher.
Okay.
I mean, Justin Verlander, his best two starts this year came in May, where he struck out 9 in back-to-back games. Two starts before that, May 12th, he struck out 8 guys. So he went 8 strikeouts, 3 strikeouts, 9 and 9. Those were his, like, 5th through 9th start of the season. Since then, since we got to June, and then he had the injury, so he was out for a while, he just can't do it as easily as he used to. It's so much of a grind watching him. You could tell that he's going for the strikeout pitch, and he's just not getting it. The command's not there. Walked 3 batters to start a game for the first time in his career yesterday. They pointed that out on the broadcast, which is a wild stat pull from the TV crew. Credit to them. But he just looks like everything, it's hard. None of it's easy. So what do I expect? At this point, if Justin Verlander can give me 4 innings and only give up 2 runs in a playoff game, I'm in. I'll take it.
Man, those are lowered expectations.
It took him 107 pitches to get through 5 innings against the Cincinnati Reds. Like, the blue pit, it's a blue pit. It happens. It's baseball. Anything can happen. Anything's possible, whatever I said. But he just, it's not as easy as it used to be. It's just everything's a grind.
I was on vacation last week. How did Verlander look in his last start? And is it possible that this is Verlander on the mound going through a preseason of sorts?
Ooh.
Is it possible that a month from now we're looking at Justin Verlander, and we're not getting 2022 Justin Verlander, but we're getting a Verlander that is not going to give up 8 singles, that's not going to throw first pitch strikes to just 13 of the 26 guys he went up against? Is he going to have more command? Because this could have been just a one-off kind of thing. He is coming back from a, what was it? Again, the Astros make it confusing.
Arm/neck injury.
But officially a neck, but it was an arm.
Yes.
That Verlander told us was an arm. Yes. The Astros told us it was a neck. And Verlander told us it was a neck at first. Fun times. Okay. Is it possible? I think it's possible that he is still working his way back. And perhaps this is me being glass half full, but I am looking at it through that lens. That was a rough outing yesterday, for sure. But if he's not getting shelled, if he's not getting bombed out of the ballpark, I'm not concerned.
It's Justin Verlander. That's also part of it. That's why it's totally fair and justified to look at it glass half full. And I would still lean that way. He's Justin Verlander. How often do you doubt Hall of Famers and then they still just find a way to figure it out when it matters most? I mean, you've seen guys who have struggled in their careers, but they can still have, you know, peak performances. I know it's an extreme example, but I think back to Kobe's last game. I mean, he was objectively terrible at basketball, but then in his last game, he dropped 60.
I mean, he did shoot 472 times.
He did.
For all the Kobe stands out there, he's not even close to the top 2 players of all time. But
agreed.
To be fair, yes, he had a really good last game. Yeah. And to make
Jordan was dropping 45 with the Wizards.
Mm-hmm. And to bring it back to me, as I always do, and my Lord and Savior Tom Brady, but, I mean, the few times where I ever had doubts about Brady, I felt so guilty that split second I doubted Brady. And it did happen a couple of times. I'm only human. Verlander is somebody who wanted to be Tom Brady. I think he even said it. And wants to pitch into his mid-40s, which maybe is looking unrealistic at this moment in time. But this is a guy that I still think it's capable of more than what we saw yesterday. I'm not panicking about it. I'm not freaking out about it. You're not either. You're just saying he is no longer superhuman. And I'll agree with you there. I don't see him getting back to a level where you say, I'm making Justin Verlander the guy who's my game one starter. That's mm-hmm. Framber Valdez is right now. I mean, he almost threw another no-hitter over the weekend. Valdez has that locked down.
I'm not sure he's your game two starter.
Ooh, okay. Well, who would you put in?
Hunter Brown? And would you put Justin Verlander? I mean,
Verlander over Arrighetti, yes.
What about Kikuchi? He's pitched so well. It sounds weird to say, but he has 5 starts left, I think. Like, there's like 28 games, 27 games, something like that left in the season. So we probably see Justin Verlander pitch 5 more times. So we have a lot to learn about where Justin Verlander is at. Is it a spring training kind of thing? Which I would love for that to be a great take, that he's just ramping back up still. You know, is there more left in the tank? But the way Kikuchi's been performing since he got to the Houston Astros, it's hard to not view him as the guy over JV, at least at this very moment.
The performance he had against the Royals over the weekend, where he not only went six innings for the first time, I mean, he went seven. I'll listen to that. I sure will. I mean, he had 12 strikeouts against the Royals team that was, at the time, red hot, at least going into that series against the Astros. So I think it's totally fair. Joe said, Justin Verlander, no longer superhuman. What do you say? 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN975. You can join us on YouTube as well. You want to weigh in on that? We will continue this conversation next. And I think a lot of you people have to admit this about one of the least popular figures in recent Houston sports history, especially after last night. Go on to George, ESPN975-925. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Peter. Into right field, shallow, back goes Singleton, over comes Altuve, and drops in for two runs. Nobody could get there. Singleton, Hayward, Altuve dropped right in between the three of them, and that's a frustrating way for Justin Verlander's day to end as the Reds take a 4-2 lead.
Joe George said to open up the show, Justin Verlander is no longer superhuman. A couple of responses to that. From the 832, if Verlander doesn't get right, he will never be removed from the rotation. He will have another injury. Two more bad starts and you will hear about Justin Verlander going on injured reserve. The injured list, I think, is what this texter meant.
I like that take. They would never say, Justin, you've not made the playoff rotation publicly. We might get the source inside the Houston Astros 5 months after the fact. But I think, yeah, we're way more likely to see JV is hurt, in quotes, than just not in the playoff rotation.
He would never be left off. They would never do it. In fact, I think if I'm Verlander, even if I'm hurt, I'm out there. You never know if this is going to be the last ride. I mean, we don't know that he's going to be an Astro next year. I would lean towards he probably isn't. So is this his last postseason appearance, potentially? It could be. You know, I mean, he went to the Mets. Everyone thought the Mets were going to be great, and look what a disaster that was.
Yeah, and somehow they're way better without him and Max Scherzer just a year after making those moves.
Such a strange year for the Mets.
What a bizarre thing to go all in, trade away the pieces, have to pay those contracts to get them to go away, and then you're having a great year. But Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander are doing a whole lot of nothing right now at this point. But, yeah, he's someone else said – because since you didn't understand my Hercules reference, I haven't seen it.
Sorry.
Kind of astonishes me. He's Superman with kryptonite.
I do know that now this is going to sound weird, whatever. I'm totally fine making fun confessions from time to time. Whoever is the female cartoon lead.
Oh yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's a hot cartoon.
That's a hot cartoon. Yeah. That was Paul's type.
Yeah.
Unrealistically skinny with huge hips.
Yeah. She's an elite cartoon.
Sup?
Maybe next summer. Just the elite hot
now. Hopefully, dress. Unlike many of the other characters, this person is, I don't know, an adult
and human. Human only.
Can confirm only human. To be honest, not really sure about the age.
Hercules is young in that movie,
but he's old when they meet. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, I guess there's a time jump.
I think he's at least 19.
Hercules is young.
Like, I don't know if
she does talk to him like he's young.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. She's
definitely an older. Oh, she's older than Hercules.
Yeah, she's a coog. Yeah, she's a coog.
I think she's a coog. There we go. All right. Yeah,
I think we're in the clear.
Okay. Good.
You know what? I don't want to look it up because every time we look it up, it's astonishing.
Don't look it up. But the last time we looked it up, Sean did this to me on the air. It was like a knife right into the back. Because there's a certain Disney person, I was like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan, and then I was told
15 years old.
Stop, you ass! I hate you. Another text while we're making fun of Paul for the 832. Paul, are you back from getting your transition surgery? The hell, I'm back one day. I got calf implants. Okay, I got big ass calves right now.
It's fake news. He's wearing pants.
I said I wouldn't look it up.
You looked it up?
I 100%.
Don't look it up.
No, it's good. We're in the clear.
Okay.
Yeah, Meg was 28.
Oh, okay.
In 1997.
Oh, so I can date her still.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're good.
Hercules, and so our instincts was right. Hercules was 18.
Oh, that's a big gap.
Okay, interesting.
Good for him.
Interesting. All right, so if you want to weigh in on Justin Verlander, you can. I do think that's interesting about where you put him in the rotation. I would imagine, just with the way things are going right now, let's assume that the Astros perhaps don't get that second seed in the American League. I mean, you might have to go four people. So it's one of those things where it's an interesting hypothetical conversation, but I do think that you would probably use both Kikuchi and Verlander.
Yeah, Verlander, if anything, he starts because he's Justin Verlander. But of all the pitchers, he's on the shortest leash. Mm-hmm. He's the day where Arrighetti is ready to go. He's in the bullpen. And he is warming up basically as soon as the game starts to come in case things fall apart and fall off the wagon for Justin Verlander.
That's, yeah, I think if the status quo remains where Verlander keeps putting up, you know, a little bit less than five inning starts, giving up four runs, and then Arrighetti the next day keeps putting together these awesome starts, I think it gets closer and closer. But I do ultimately think that Justin Verlander, like, it's just such a hard conversation to have unless he absolutely blows it up in the last couple starts and is just terrible out there. I do think that the veteranness is going to win out, but there will be a piggyback situation where it's like, you know, we just need Verlander to get us through the first, like, four innings, and then we go to Arrighetti or Kikuchi or whoever.
Rodel Blanco, maybe.
Blanco, yeah.
On YouTube at ESPN Houston, James Wall. Verlander needs to sit on the bench and be happy to win another ring with us and not play. Damn, James.
That's definitely like the heartless way to look at it. Like if you were just to remove the jerseys and the resumes off these guys, like we're not even having the conversation if Verlander should
strip. There's in the zero playoffs. Conversation.
Yeah.
There's nothing. If this was JP France or Jake Odorizzi, or if it was Hunter Brown, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But he's Justin Verlander. And there's still like Tom Brady and these guys who are, you know, legends of the game and are Hall of Famers, you still have that, can he give me one last performance? Can he give me one last moment, or, and I guess for a pitcher, a couple last moments to where he can help you win a World Series and BJV and hopefully ride off into the sunset with another World Series championship?
We'll see what happens. Yesterday, not great for Justin Verlander. The numbers, 4 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits allowed, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, 5 earned runs, and yeah, walked the first 3 batters. Wow. Was a jarring moment. Just as jarring as seeing Jeff Bagwell on the broadcast and how sunburned he was. My God, you're in Cincinnati, man. How are you that sunburned?
Must have happened here.
Yeah, I would think so.
He must have been like hanging out on the Galveston beaches, just forgot to put on sunscreen.
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was Labor Day. I mean, come on. It was just Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Or
you think he was in the office on Friday?
Well, I'm assuming he's still part of the brain trust.
I don't think he has to be in the office to be part of the brain trust.
Oh, fair enough.
Now
I think he can do that on a beach.
Yeah, since this like it's not the off season and the trade deadline's over, I feel like Jeff Bagwell has like very little actual responsibility for the Houston Astros right now. Besides maybe telling them that Justin Verlander has to be in the playoff rotation.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that happen.
Back of the baseball card. Justin Verlander is in the playoff rotation.
You know what?
Sorry, I had to bring it back.
Now that the Astros are good, though, I kind of want them to bring it back. I kind of want them to get cocky and think to themselves, you know what? Let's bring up the back of the baseball card again and see if anyone notices.
Just for Verlander. For Verlander to be the game 2 starter, the ALDS.
It would be pretty funny. Things are good now. It would be funny. I would laugh. I would give a media guffaw if I were in, you know, the chuckle.
In the dugout, in the pregame with a spot up.
I'd give him a chuckle. I'd give him a chuckle.
I kind of want them to, like, use it for, like, a Yiner Diaz. Like, his back of the baseball card says he's a really good
player. Only 2 years on the back of that baseball card.
There's only 2 years on it, but I mean, look at the back of the baseball card. Great player.
Martin Maldonado, he's coming back. Did an interview, I think, the other day. That was interesting to see a clip pop up online. Also interesting. If you watched college football yesterday, wow. Boston College beat Florida State 28-13. For those who don't know, former Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien is now the head coach at Boston College. And BC beat the bejesus out of Florida State. Now, this might be a reflection of Florida State. You hate to see it. And the first 0-2 17th place team in ACC history, the first 0-2 number 10 team perhaps in college football history, because technically this was still week one. They played two games in week one. I think it's funny how week one lasts 3 weeks or whatever. But Bill O'Brien can coach. And I think we all got to admit it. This is Bill O'Brien after his Eagles took down the Seminoles last night in Tallahassee.
You know, I'm very proud of these guys. You know, they were resilient tonight to come down here against a team that, you know, really was, you know, really in their minds, I'm sure, had to have this win. That's a heck of a statement for BC, but it's just one win. It's only one. So we have to understand that, and we've got to be able to handle success, you know, as well as we've handled adversity tonight. You know what I mean? Handle in the same way. So, but we're on the right track, that's for sure.
Hell yeah. They just beat a top 10 team on the road. And afterwards, he's saying, well, we can't get too big-headed here. Oh, Bill O'Brien is back, guys. And he's a good coach. And he always was a good coach. I know you all hate to admit it.
He's a good coach.
He was a good coach.
So what does he say now? Six wins, doesn't matter, Brian. We made a bowl game, Brian. Is that what the...
Doesn't matter,
hey,
Brian.
Hey, Coach O'Brien, FSU stinks this year. Are we sure this is a good win?
Doesn't matter.
Got I guess
win,
it
Brian.
Is top 10.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Good. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
It did look good.
It looked really good.
It did look really good. And I don't know if it means more about Boston College or more about Florida State.
Florida State's gotten destroyed in the run, like defending the run the first two games. I think that part is a little bit like, I want to see it one more time from BC on against a good team, but they're definitely going to be in the mix to make a bowl game, which is something that seemed like a stretch goal at the start of the year.
Well, I do want to give O'Brien a lot of credit for it, but Free Shoes University, wait, hang on, my bad. Florida State Penitentiary, also wrong. Florida State looks like doo-doo. And again, as a Florida Gator fan, you just hate to see it. You hate to see Florida State actually be worse than the Billy Napier-led Florida Gators.
But I can't wait for that game.
But that's what Florida State is. My God, Florida State of college football in Florida, it is an absolute joke. But, I mean, well, I do want to give O'Brien a ton of credit. But DJ Ugalugalugalabugala, whatever the hell his last name is, that guy sucks.
He's so bad.
He is terrible.
It just shows you how little like high school rankings matter. He was ranked number 2 in his class, in front of CJ Stroud. So like
it was Bryce Young, DJU, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, like that's that the
2020 recruiting class.
Bringing it back to CJ Stroud, that's impressive.
Yeah, so it's just the fact that he was this high level prospect and he's been a disaster at all three stops after what we thought was going to be a great quarterback at Clemson. But I'm with you. I give Bill O'Brien a lot of credit because he is a good coach. He's a terrible GM. He's one of the worst GMs in the history of football, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's just he had no business. And he said afterwards, recently, he regrets taking that role on because he knows he should never have done it. And he should have found a way to make it work with the guy from Buffalo.
He is very media savvy. I mean, he still has friends in the media, if you will. Joe's laughing. We had a conversation in the break. But the thing with him, he might be better suited to coach college football. The job he did at Penn State was truly incredible. Mm-hmm. That program was an effing mess post Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. And he comes in there and they won right away. And he had to deal with all the crazy people there. And we make fun of Texas A&M for being cultists, but at the very least, you can have a beer with a Texas A&M fan. You know, like you just make fun of them a little bit. Penn State people are psycho. And I say that as somebody who has had a Penn State fan pull a switchblade on me and say, yo, I'm from Philly. Yes, this happened. This happened, Joe. This happened my sophomore year of college at Syracuse University. Penn State played Syracuse, I want to say week one or week two. And this guy who had been making out with somebody that my friend was in that moment making out with, kept on saying, sloppy seconds. And indeed, they were very sloppy seconds. But this guy, when we made fun of him, comes up to us and pulls out a switchblade, all five of us, and says, yo, I'm from Philly. These people are crazy. And Bill O'Brien went there in the wake of all that was going on and all their denial and all their wanting to look the other way about Paterno and Sandusky, and he won there. And, I mean, I look at it from this perspective. BC's always been weirdly good at college football. He's at his home. He's in a pretty good place. I think he's going to be at BC for a while, and I think he's going to have a successful program at BC, assuming that they don't get, you know, sent back to 1AA and entirely miss joining another super conference.
Yeah, I mean, if Bill O'Brien doesn't have aspirations to go to a bigger school at some point, then he could probably just stay at Boston College for the rest of his career. That's a program with very low expectations. Making bowl games consistently will work for them. I mean, and I guess at some point, if you're just making bowl games every year, like, the expectations will change. But this is a program that has no expectations. They've had no expectations for years. I saw people talking about this on social media, that this was their best win as a program since, like, 2007. Like, that's how bad Boston College
is. Yeah, that sounds right. That was Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they've just been a giant nothing burger. And for at least 1 week, and really 2 weeks, because they play Duquesne next week, they're semi-relevant to college football again. And then they play Mizzou the week after, which I can't wait for that one. Give me a Bill O'Brien upsets an SEC team moment. I can't wait for that. I need it almost at this point.
If that happened, I would ask him if he wants to come on the show.
I don't know, Paul.
We have a bunch of drops that I've saved over the years from my interactions with Bill O'Brien at Texans media availabilities. Yeah.
If Bill O'Brien came on the show, could we play some of them for him?
Oh, 100%.
And like, it'd be like, Bill, what do you think about this?
He would probably, I mean, look, I feel like I know the man fairly well. I think he would laugh at a lot of them.
Yeah.
I actually think he would. It would just be about how
I do your questions. I really do.
See? You would say that.
How many, Paul, I really enjoy your questions. I might just listen. I might just let you just handle it.
Yeah.
If Bill O'Brien came on.
Okay.
And just sit here and just be like, happy-go-lucky that Bill O'Brien's on the show and you guys are interacting.
If BC ends up playing Texas A&M in a bowl game or something like that, I'm doing that interview. Oh. I'm doing it. I know we're the home of the Aggies. I'm doing that interview, okay? So, want a little help, Tex Aggs. I know Billy Lucci's got his tight little leather jacket and stuff, and he's in denial about being 50. It's fine. I would love to provide some content for my friend David Nuno and the fine fellows at Tex Aggs.
I think you're pulling one out again, but...
Said that to me. Oh, what a time. What a time. Bill O'Brien, good coach. Good job. That was a nice win by BC last night. It's Kalani George. He is Joe. I am Paul. You want to weigh in on Justin Verlander no longer being superhuman? I think we can all agree on that. You can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Coming up next, everything from a long Labor Day weekend. Labor Day? What am I talking about? Labor Day weekend that you might have missed, including a new contributor on College Game Day and the cutest thing ever that is 100% a sign of the United States being a dying empire. What? Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at Red Bull. Guys, the Red Bull show run. It's Saturday morning and afternoon is all right for F1. Just like Elton John sang back in the day. The Red Bull show run is taking place here in Houston on Saturday. And if you are an F1 fan, or if you are curious just about F1 curious people out there, Discovery Green is going to be hosting this awesome event free to the public, where you get to see all the F1 cars driving around, making all those noises. Maybe you got a little kid who loves race cars like my nephew. This is the place you want to go. The Red Bull show run. It's going to be Saturday. Everything really starts at noon, but you want to get there early, like 9 or 10. Discovery Green, weather seems like it's cooperating. It's going to be a fantastic time, and it's brought to you by Red Bull and the world of F1. So make sure you check out the Red Bull show run on Saturday.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring the bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
I do have a couple of people weighing in on Justin Verlander from the 713. I hate to say it, but Verlander looked old yesterday. And from YouTube at ESPN Houston, BVB09, when you get to the playoffs, you need pitchers with strikeout stuff. Verlander doesn't have that anymore. It's coochie all day over Verlander. Interesting.
If it keeps going like this, I think a lot of people will jump on board with that. That they'll be pro Kikuchi over JV.
But yeah.
But will the Astros?
That is the tough question. But, hey, I mean, you gave up what you gave up to go get Kikuchi. I don't know. You may as well ride it out.
Ride him into the ground.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
You also gave up a lot for Justin Verlander.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like last year.
Well, Eric Geddy, looked like you're in the bullpen.
Yep. I will say, I mean, our guy Joey Loperfido had a nice week last week. Saw a couple of tweets about him. We can't really say the same thing for, what, Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford, at least to my knowledge, unless they've actually been good elsewhere. But I don't think they have, right?
They're not on the Mets.
Right.
No, I think they've been okay in the minors, but they haven't, like, lived up to expectations.
I think Will Wagner have, like, a five-hit game over the weekend?
They did.
Loperfido and Wagner have looked good.
Yeah.
Will Wagner has a five-hit game in his career before Jose Altuve.
That blows my mind.
Like, of all the great things Altuve's done, he doesn't have a five-hit game, and now Will Wagner's already got one.
Maybe trade the wrong guy?
That's surprising.
That was Sean. I don't need anyone being confused on who said that. Not me.
Oh, I didn't say it. I asked the question.
See, that's how you do it.
Sean asked the question, not me.
That's how you do it. You ask the question.
One guy's in his 30s.
You don't actually say it. Mm. See? It allows some plausible deniability. There you go.
Lesson learned.
In case you missed it, everything that you might have missed over the course of a long Labor Day weekend, here were the big college football games. I saw some of this game. Georgia killed Clemson 34-3. Everyone's dumping on Dabo Swinney.
Dabo should be in hot water. He's one of, what, four teams, Sean, that didn't take a transfer portal player?
It's the three service academies in Clemson.
Yep. So he doesn't use the transfer portal. They're not big in NIL. He's not adapting to college football. I don't know. I know he won a championship or, what, two championships, whatever it is. I don't know how you can allow someone to operate at a program like that and just say, nope, we're not going to do anything.
It's bizarre. It's weird feet dragging here. You would think that he would adapt a little bit. And I get it. Clemson, I've always had some questions about how allowable it should be to make an emphasis on religion be part of your recruiting pitch at a state school. I've always thought that they really leaned into it. Go read stories about it. Clemson is a very religious, it has a very religious background. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I've always felt like they used that as a weapon to bring people in and to convince mothers and fathers that this is the kind of place that you can go and you can trust the man who's in charge when he's a college football coach. So, like, all the other 133, full of bleep, right?
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I mean, we built this program on NIL. We really did.
Mm-hmm.
Dabo Swinney said. It's probably different from what you're thinking, though. We built this program in God's name, image, and likeness. That's a direct quote from Dabo Sweeney.
I didn't know you said it.
Oh, really? Oh, no, we definitely played the sound. It's from a couple years ago.
It's from 2022.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, that is a direct quote about not using money to bring in players.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a little bit of a made man in Clemson. He might be able to Bobby Bowden this thing. Sorry, FSU. It's going to be a rough show for you. But he might be able to Bobby Bowden this thing, Mac Brown this thing, hang on for 3 years longer than he should. Even if he doesn't change, I think he will eventually.
You have to change.
I think they did try to get transfers. They just didn't try very many, and they didn't land any of them. So they probably went like 0 for 5, or most schools are going 5 for 10 or something, where they're just trying more. They need to just try more. But I don't think he gets fired because two rings.
Could he jump to the NFL?
No.
You think that's going to work in a locker room?
No.
I'd like to see it happen.
I'd like to see it try.
I'd like the Jets to do it.
It might be worse than Urban Meyer.
Oh, definitely be worse than Urban Meyer. No, I mean, at least with Urban Meyer, he was awesome with Florida, and he was awesome with Ohio State. Dabo Swinney, at a place like that, I don't know. Notre Dame beat Texas A&M 23-13. Joe, you were at the game.
It was awesome. It was incredible. Good win for Notre Dame. Connor Wegman was just not very good.
Worse, Connor Wegman or DJ Ugabaluga?
DJ.
Okay.
Right, Sean?
I don't know. I don't
Come
know.
Come on.
Connor Wegman threw for 100 yards and two interceptions. TJ, only one interception.
Connor was like okay last year. Connor was okay last year before he got hurt.
Last year.
Okay. I know.
But DJ, let me tell you about DJU game in 2020. He was
2020.
Awesome.
That's 4 years ago.
No,
of limitations has passed on that game.
I mean, just what a rock or a hard place situation with Wegman versus DJ. Mm. I don't know.
On Sunday, number 23 USC beat number 13 LSU 27-20. I want to see Brian Kelly bang his fist on the table one more time. Hey, Bry guy, what's up? What happened, man? What's going on?
I need a
pillow. Some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
I need Bill O'Brien to play LSU in a bowl game.
Oh,
I need Bill O'Brien versus Brian Kelly in a bowl game.
They'd like each other, though, because they are both massholes, and I think they are both Irish massholes. So I feel like they would bond.
I think America would be like, I don't know who we're rooting for. I guess they would root for Boston College, actually. But I don't know who's more likable between the two of them.
Good question.
For most of America, but I think they would like each other.
I like Bill O'Brien between those two.
Same.
Florida State, speaking of, we talked about in the last segment, now 0-2 after a 28-13 loss to Bill O'Brien. I got to take the victories where I can get them. For those who don't know, I grew up picking the Florida Gators.
Wait, why in the biggest college football games we don't have the Miami-Florida game?
What
an editorial note.
Yeah, Florida's not good. Like,
what about Billy
that.
Napier versus water bottle? Where's that at?
Yeah, Billy Napier couldn't open a water bottle.
I wish we were a video property because that video is so funny. What he said was completely meaningless, but he struggles for 35 seconds, 45 seconds.
He struggled.
Several different attempts at opening a water bottle. Never made it happen.
He also went on, and we'll do this in the college football six-pack in the 2 o'clock hour. He went on a unhinged.
He took a shot.
Rant where he takes a shot at people living in Central Florida in their mother's basements. Billy, there's no basements in Florida. What are you doing? This is just like Houston. There's no basements here.
That's the
dumbass.
That's a little bit, and we have to be careful because Sean McDermott coached his way out of this is the thing that's going to get him fired, and people are going to remember. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott got out of it, but I think the basements thing and losing by 24 to Miami, I think that's ultimately like what we're going to remember when Billy Napier gets fired.
Continuing, in case you missed it. Nick Saban did College Game Day. This clip blew up. Nick Saban, he don't care about that FCC.
Quarterback is going to be. I know we all want to see who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
But to do what they did and want to continue to do, you're going to have two running backs.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, you guys keep talking about a $20 million roster.
Yeah.
If you don't pay the right guys, you'll be out of luck.
That's life, baby. That's life. Congrats.
That was a lot of laughter.
Oh, I cut it off, too. They're still laughing.
I enjoyed Nick Saban.
He was good?
I didn't watch it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. He's way more comfortable doing it than I thought. Him and Belichick both. Like, I thought both of them might be just stiffs when they get up there and not want to say too much.
Saban's always been good in front of a microphone. Belichick has never been good in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
So we will see with Belichick in an expanded role, I think, this year in NFL media. But Saban's always been good in front of a mic. And I think now he can be relaxed instead of constantly having to try to find ways to avoid the rat poison.
No, he's giving the rat poison.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's intentionally not picking Alabama to win the SEC to motivate them.
I like that. That's
I like
such a great
that
move.
Too. I think it's an A-plus move.
More in case you missed it, this is the sign of an empire in decline. Kirk Herbstreit has a dog, and it's a cute dog. It's a golden retriever named Ben. He even does a podcast where he interviews people while walking his golden retriever, Ben. This dog, he brings it everywhere. This is the sign of the United States as an empire in decline. We care way too much about dogs. Sometimes more than we care about people. He's bringing this golden retriever on the broadcast, and in the middle of the broadcast, it just trots into the studio.
They
trots
just show
in front
him.
Of the camera, and they show it. And again, it's a cute dog. Golden retrievers are great.
He's part of the team now.
It's Joe. It's insane. There has to be a line that we draw with dogs.
What's his best friend? It's his best friend.
I think.
So he gets to bring it everywhere. What the hell?
I think this might be what turns America against dogs. Not America, but I think this might be the first dog that America that America can criticize.
Because they don't like Kirk?
Because they don't. Because they showed him three times while, like, in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
That's in between plays. They'd show booth shots with the dog laying down in the middle, and they'd do a little 10-second bit about, like, oh, look at
the game. Good wasn't boy. Great. The game wasn't great.
That was a good game. What? It came down to the wire.
I know. It's a cute dog. I love golden retrievers, but it started with the who's the former crack addict that does basketball?
Lamar Odom?
No.
That was my thought too.
No. What's that guy's name? He always tweets out dogs, bruh.
You know. Oh, Rex Chapman.
Rex Chapman.
Oh, okay.
Gen X Reed Shepard, yeah.
Yeah, look. I mean, my bad. It was Vicodin, by the way. But Rex Chapman, okay? Like, with the dogs brushed up, I get it. We all love dogs. But there has to be a point where you don't bring your dog around all the time. There has to be a point.
I mean, it's an insane place where in America we can go, like, hey, we don't care about your kid. Like, we care about our kid. We don't care about your kid. But for some reason, that's way more controversial to say, hey, I don't care about your dog, Kirk Herbstreit. Call the game.
Well, because a lot of people think dogs are better than kids.
Dylan Donna on the Twitch. That's Ben, his best friend, who is a cancer survivor. Great. He doesn't need to go to the effing broadcast. Like, leave your dog at home.
Just don't show him. He can bring him. I don't care what he does with his dog.
Listen, the lady I am talking with right now has a beautiful dog, and she doesn't bring the dog everywhere. You don't need to bring the dog
anywhere. Yeah, but like, if you gave her this take, she might be really mad at you.
I don't care. This is a take I've always had. Like, you don't need to bring your dog everywhere. It's a dog. You don't need to bring it everywhere. Does Kirk Herbstreit need an emotional support dog? Okay, I'll bring in my emotional support cat tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit didn't need an emotional support dog the first 20 years he called football
exactly.
games.
Exactly. What the hell? All of a sudden? He's doing it on the Amazon broadcast, too.
I mean, look.
It was on Amazon last year.
I would love to know.
Times have changed.
I would love to know, mics are off, what Al Michaels thinks about that.
I think he probably does not like it.
Or he doesn't care. Either he doesn't care. He's like, I didn't even notice.
He probably doesn't want to be there, so maybe.
Or he's like, what are we doing?
See, Al Michaels will stop liking Ben, Kirk Herbstreit's dog. You know when he'll do that? He'll do it when Ben eats the amazing food platter of steaks. That Al Michaels has.
And no vegetables.
Because for those who don't know, Al Michaels, at every single one of his broadcasts, he has like this platter of the finest foods. Like, he's having lobster and steak like while these games are going on. Which might be a reason he's so cantankerous. He's hangry during these broadcasts because he's getting up there in age. And older folks, no offense, like when you get older, you get a little more cranky when you're hangry.
Now, there's still a chance that this dog, though, like while you have a point, what happens if like one day he just like hikes his leg? And pees on Kirk in the middle of a broadcast.
We wouldn't do it to... He wouldn't do
it. No, it would be on Fowler.
Even better.
Or actually, no, it would be on one of the producers.
What if he does it like McAfee on game day?
I hope...
What a viral moment that would be.
Here's what I hope. Because a lot of you dog owners out there, you do this. You know you do it. If Kirk Herbstreit... if Kirk Herbstreit says, oh, he always does that, that dog should be taken from him.
I thought you were going to go somewhere.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say Ben Herbstreit bites someone.
like he's Major Biden. By the way, did Major Biden bite like 12 people?
I think so.
It must have been a really cute dog.
It was like a Secret Service member every week or something.
He never does that.
Yeah, no, that's... And then Kirk Herbstreit goes, he never does that, I don't know. In the middle of a Florida State-Miami game or something, yeah.
It happens. All right, continuing through, in case you missed it, we got some WNBA for you.
Ooh.
So, the Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky played on Friday, and Angel Reese wore a Dennis Rodman Pistons jersey to it. Why? I don't know.
Rebounding machine.
I mean, Joe, she's a representative of Chicago. You're a Bulls fan.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like it if one of your favorite Chicago athletes wore a Bad Boys Pistons jersey into the arena?
It didn't even occur to me that, like, you said Pistons jersey, and I immediately was like, yeah, she was just wearing a Rodman jersey.
Honestly, like, that's kind of, like, in one just, ear, out the other. Like, just I just, flew I heard, head, I heard fine, Rodman fine. Jersey, and I was like, yeah, but then when you reset it, no, that's not okay.
That's not.
A Bulls jersey, completely fine.
Yeah, especially when they're readily available.
And the Indiana Fever won this game by a lot. Caitlin Clark was out of the game early, and Angel Reese was in for the last 4 minutes of a 30-point blowout trying to get a double-double.
She's a stat chaser.
Definitely is.
Lots of rebounds, though.
Also, Caitlin Clark got flagrant fouled in this game by someone named Diamond DeShields. I don't know if this stat is official, but I saw Shannon Sharp, who has been a big Caitlin Clark defender, say this. 17% of the WNBA's flagrant fouls this year have been committed against Caitlin Clark. The Chicago Sky were responsible for 80% of the flagrant fouls committed against Clark.
I hope that's true. I'm just going to pretend like that's
true. I want
true.
That to be true, too. Yeah. I kind of respect it.
Yeah. I think he's got to be the ultimate villain if you're going to do
That would make sense. Like that. Then wearing the Bad Boy Pistons jersey makes sense. It's just you're in Chicago. Like, yeah. Know you're where you're at. You could have worn, I don't know, like a Saints jersey, like to honor Greg Williams and his bounty program with New Orleans back in the day.
Yeah, I think that would make more sense since you went to LSU. You can't wear the Pistons jersey, and I hope the stat's very true because that's very funny.
It is.
If they're just leading the way on dirty play against Caitlin Clark, who has been balling lately.
She has been balling.
Very, very good.
I have one last thing for in case you missed it. And this is just a fun before and after from the city of Seattle. Matt Calkins, who is a columnist for the Seattle Times, two headlines a month apart. Mariners front office has done its job. Now pressure is on players to win the West, he wrote August 5th, 2024.
Wrong.
September 2nd, 2024. Mariners woes can be placed on doorstep of front office. I like it.
Yeah, I actually, yeah.
He zags against himself.
I mean,
Skip would be proud.
That's what we're going for in this seat.
Yeah.
Zagging against myself all the time.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Hey,
Framber Valdez, best pitcher on the Astros.
I was going to say, how do you feel about Framber?
Best pitcher on the Astros. Game ball. Gets the ball game one. No matter what. Ace of the staff.
Sure, there's some Yiner Diaz takes from early in the season that don't look great.
No, I think I was always pro Yiner.
Okay.
Joe, you don't have to think about those takes that you were wrong on. It's fine. Bregman. We all
just
have them.
Just the Framber one.
Bregman's.
But you care way too much about the Framber one. Whatever.
Well, we bring it up quite a bit.
Hunter Brown.
It's funny at this point.
No, it's some of the listeners bring it up a lot. You don't need to bring it up anymore.
That's not true. You bring it up all the time, Paul.
You
brought it up the week before you went on vacation.
Did I? I don't remember. I don't recall. I do not recall. I don't do it as much as probably the Killer Bees do.
Oh, no. They every day.
We don't talk about Joe as much as the Killer Bees.
Dude, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
He's on the show.
Weird.
So there you go, guys. In case you missed it. And to piggyback off of the dog talk, I have a confession to make. A confession. Because I'm dressed up today.
You are.
It always leads to the most annoying commentary ever. And we got it from Sam, our delightful web gal. Like, oh, look at Sharp today. I know, one. But two, I get that all the time. Like, whenever I dress up, like, oh, look at good.
Wait till Friday.
Yeah, you wait till Friday. That is a tease. But the reason I'm dressed up today is not because I did TV this morning on Fox 26 with my friend Nate Griffin. And it's not because I had a job interview elsewhere. It is because, I bleep you not, I'm doing a photo shoot this afternoon with my cat for a magazine. I am not kidding. That is 100% happening.
Can you say what magazine? If you can't, that's fine. Is it Cat Fancy?
I forget off the top of my head.
Cat Fancy's the only cat-related
one. No, it's for all pets. It's for all pets.
Okay, I was going to ask, is it a Houston thing or is it a
pet? Send me an email.
Thing?
I was like, sure.
Is it like famous Houstonians and their pets?
I guess so, yeah.
I can't wait.
So they think I'm famous, at least.
We are going to... I'm going to hit up Frank. I'm going to hit up Frank, or old, you know, whatever he was for us, who made all the posters in here. And I'm going to get him to make a blown up picture of Paul
for the
studio.
I'd love it.
With the cat.
I'm really curious as to what this is going to look like. They said, like, don't wear a patterned shirt, because I was going to wear one of my Hawaiian shirts. They said, wear a long sleeve shirt. So I classed it up.
Okay.
Classy cat dad.
I love it.
I can't believe we spend half the segment talking about Kirk Herbstreit and his dog.
I have so many
questions.
Isn't that
funny? Me saying the downfall of America is because Kirk Herbstreit brings his dog everywhere. Meanwhile, I'm about to go do a photo shoot because I have a cat.
I mean, at least you didn't bring the cat and then make it part of the show.
Yeah.
No, no, I wouldn't want to do that to Arya.
She also sounds scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually, I'm kind of concerned for her. I don't know how she's going to handle this, but anyway.
And Paul's going to come in tomorrow, just like clawed up face.
Yeah, is that why you had to wear long sleeves?
I actually have a claw mark from my sister's cat on